Tech of Sports, episode 36 for December 5th, 2012. Maria Sanchez, American pro tennis player and former USC player. This week on the Tech of Sports, Maria Sanchez. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget the Stitcher radio app for all iOS devices. Get Stitcher for free with all your favorite Netcast Studio shows preloaded. Stitcher Radio. It's an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher, it's smart radio for your smartphone. And the Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. And the Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. You join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific at netcaststudio.com/live, where you can join the chat room and listen to the show live. Like to welcome everyone tonight on a Wednesday night. We're going to talk a little tennis tonight, and there is still a professional tennis tournament that will be going on next week here in Atlanta, and we're joined by one of the participants tonight. It's Maria Sanchez. Maria holds the distinction of having one of the biggest ranking jumps in 2012. She jumped, the last stats I have show was Maria was 548 spots, but I think it might be more than that since you're up to number 127 now, and appreciate you joining us. And Maria was a star at USC. She turned pro in 2011. And in 2012, she won two titles on the U.S. pro circuit. She won in Sacramento and Albuquerque. She's currently ranked 127 in the world. And she'll be competing next week here in Atlanta at the Australian Open wildcard playoffs. And Maria, thanks for taking time out from your training and joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. And we'll talk a little tennis tonight and a few other things. And next week, you're going to be here in Atlanta. You're going to have an opportunity in front of you with the Australian Open wildcard playoffs. And it's going to be eight really good women players, really equally matched. And you're looking forward to it. And how do you approach a tournament like that where it's going to be just 3 days of tennis? Does it kind of remind you maybe of a college tournament a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be tough competition there, so I got to be ready from the first match. And so right now I'm just training hard and trying to get prepared for the tournament and, you know, and hopefully make the most out of that opportunity.
This is kind of your off season. Are you already through with your off season and you're into kind of preparing for 2013, or does this kind of come in the middle of your off season and kind of throws your schedule off a little bit?
No, I already took a couple weeks off completely from doing tennis or anything. So I started back last week training. So now I'm well into the off season training.
Yeah, looking back on your 2012 season, it was really successful. You had a really good year. You really your first full year playing pro events. Talk about your 2012 season and how you kind of approached it and how you kind of set your schedule up and how is 2013 going to be different?
I mean, the season went pretty well. My coaches helped make my schedule for me. And I mean, my goal at the end of the season was to be like top 400. So I didn't want to go in with too high of expectations because I knew it would be a big adjustment from college. So I just wanted to go in there into this season, trying to just kind of develop my game and not focus so much on the results or the ranking or money or any of that. So I think I did pretty well in that aspect, just kind of taking it one tournament at a time. And I continued to develop my game, which ended up helping me kind of get better as the season went on. And I think that's why I had a successful season. And so now going into 2013, I'm just continuing to just focus on myself and my game and trying to develop that and kind of use the confidence from 2012 to kind of keep me going through 2013 and continue to work hard and not really focus on the results, but just kind of know that, you know, I can do well and I'm continuing to strive to do better.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of college players when they turn pro and ask them what the biggest adjustment is. And most of the time they say it's just because there's no easy matches anymore. You can't take any days off. Is that kind of how you saw it last year, or is that kind of how the adjustment went for you?
Yeah, definitely. It's a step up in competition. The girls are hungrier. They're all out here because they want to be out here doing well. And so, you know, we're playing for money too, so that adds a little more pressure. And so, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big adjustment. The competition gets better and better as you get higher in the rankings too.
Talk about your development, kind of. I think you grew up in a family. Did you have three or four brothers you grew up with?
Yeah, four older brothers.
Did that kind of help you with being competitive and maybe always trying to compete with what they were doing and kind of be one of the guys? Is that kind of did that kind of make you the competitor you are today?
Yeah, I'd say it made me pretty feisty. I was always playing sports with them growing up, and I think I hated to lose more than any of them, and they never let me win on purpose, so you know, just it made me tougher, and I think it definitely gave me more of a competitive spirit, just always wanting to beat them or try and keep up with them. And you know, for better or for worse, it made me, I think, more of a feisty competitor now.
Yeah, I think that probably did help you. And you su successful coming out of college, successful college player. Talk about what role college had in your development and kind of how you got to where you are now. Did that, I assume it really helped you prepare for the pros, and talk about maybe the player you were before you went into college and how you came out of college and what the difference was.
Yeah, well, my plan was always to go to college growing up. It was important in my family for us. My parents wanted me and my brothers to all get a college degree, so I knew that I wanted to go to college and then after that go pro. So for me, I picked the best option where I felt it would help me develop my game the most. And so I really connected with the coaches at USC, Richard and West, and they helped me develop my game. Physically and mentally over the 4 years, and I had good teammates to practice with every day. And the competition was tough in college. There's some good players with some pro experience, and so I think that helped prepare me for the pro tour. Even though it was a step up once I graduated. But I mean, and all around too, college was just a great experience for me. It helped me grow as a person too, and athletically, academically, socially, I had a great experience. So I think all of that has helped me get to where I am today.
Yeah, and then you had a successful college career, and then you embarked on life on the pro tour. A little different. You were playing small events in small cities, a little culture shock, something a little different. You had to kind of fend for yourself and really grow up fast, getting out of the college environment. And you seemed to adapt to that pretty well and pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was definitely an adjustment at first, not having my coaches with me or my teammates, you know, just kind of being out on your own. I think that was the hardest adjustment for me, just, you know, missing that college environment, that my team. So it was rough the first few tournaments getting used to it, but eventually I kind of just worked on more just playing for myself again, and focusing on myself and still keeping in touch with, you know, my teammates and coaches, and knowing that even though they're not physically there with me, like they're sending their support to me, you know, text messages before and after matches. And, you know, so that helped a lot. And it's nice to go back and see my teammates, my old teammates and old coaches too.
Yeah, and you'll be here in Atlanta next week at the Australian Open Wildcard Playoffs put on by the USTA. And for people that don't know what that involves, the USTA gets a wild card for the men and the women into the Australian Open, which is the first Grand Slam tournament of the year. And they have a playoff with eight women and eight men to determine who gets that wild card. And that really means a lot. And the position you are in the rankings, you're kind of caught. Kind of, it's a good spot in the fact that you've improved so much, but you're on the cusp of getting into WTA events, and then you're also maybe at the upper edge of the USTA Pro Circuit events. So there's decisions to make, I know, and I know winning that wild card would eliminate one decision for you, and you'd get into the Australian Open and all that comes with that. Are you going to be going to Australia? We don't want to talk about if you're going to if you lose, but are you going to be going to Australia anyway if you lose? And how much would that mean to you to win that wild card next week?
Yeah, I mean, regardless, I'm going to Australia to play a couple WTAs before Australian Open. And so right now, no matter what, I'm in qualifying. And, you know, that's a good position to be in. And it would mean a lot to win the wild card into main draw. But, I mean, that's just kind of icing on the cake. And so I'm not really... I'm not trying to overthink it too much or put too much pressure on this tournament. But you know, there's a big reward for winning. So
it'd be a good early Christmas present, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Maria, appreciate your time. And just hold on for 1 second while we take a break here for an Amazon.com ad. And just want to let all the listeners know that here at the studio, we have an affiliate link for Amazon.com. It's Christmas time. You're going to be doing shopping. It's the holiday season. And the affiliate link here at the studio is netcaststudio.com/Amazon. And any shopping you do, if you go through that link, it helps the studio out here as an affiliate link. There's no extra cost to you as a listener. And since this is a tennis show, we probably have some viewers from the UK and Canada also. And the link there is netcaststudio.com/AmazonUK or AmazonCA. So you can use those accordingly. And again, Amazon.com is a great partner here with the network, and we help support them, and they help support us. So netcaststudio.com/Amazon. So appreciate that. And Maria, we appreciate you being on here. And just got a couple things before we get back to the questions here. Here's a chance where you can, if you want, give out your Twitter account if people want to follow you. And I know you give good updates on there about your training and your tournaments. And then if you want to give a shout out to any of your sponsors, and here's your chance to they call it plugging here in the media business, so feel free to mention anything you want to mention.
Oh, thank you. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at MariaVS10. It's V for Victoria and then S for Sanchez and then the number 10. I try to tweet more and more now that I'm getting a few more followers. And then I would like to thank my sponsors, Nike for my clothing sponsorship and Babolat for my equipment. And then my agent, Jordan Butler, through Agent Athleta. I'd like to thank the Everett Tennis Academy training here at with Chris Everett and her brother John, and the coaches and trainers here has been really helpful for me in the past year.
And one other question I kind of want to ask you off the topic here. I've been at tournaments when you're playing, and is it kind of are you kind of used to it when people maybe walk by your court and don't know who you are? They assume maybe you're from Spain or Argentina or somewhere. And there is another Maria Sanchez also on the WTA tour. Do you ever get confused? Do they confuse you with her, or do you have a hard time convincing people sometimes that you're an American player?
Yeah, people, actually someone just asked me today why my last name was Sanchez, because they didn't think that I looked Hispanic at all. But, yeah, I'm American. My parents were both born in California, but my dad has family from Mexico, so that's where I get my name from. But, yeah, and then there's also another Maria Sanchez on tour. Yeah. So I think some people have confused me with her, too.
I'm sure it happens. And I just want to make sure everybody knows you are an American player, and they should be supporting you here in the States. It's great to have you on. And I know you gave a mention of Chris Everett there, and I know you're close with her and the Everett Academy. And just kind of tell me what the relationship you have with her means to you, and just get good advice from her. And I mean, she's been through everything in the tennis world. Is that really a good person for you to lean on when it comes to advice in tennis?
Yeah, definitely. She's been a mentor to me for the past year, really. And more than anything, she's helped me with my mental game. I'm in close contact with her even when I'm away at tournaments. She calls me before and after matches and really helps get me in the right mindset, like stay in the moment and just competing and being tough. I think, you know, she was the best in the world at that in her time. So I'm really lucky to have her as a mentor, because really, I think, you know, the mental game of tennis is such a big, such an important part that it really helps to have her in my corner helping me with that and just giving me advice here and there. I'm really lucky to have her.
Yeah, a lot of really good coaches there at the Everett Academy, and a really good place to train. And they do a good job with the players that are down there, and you fit right in there, and seems to be a really positive experience for you. And this show is called The Tech of Sports, so we talk a little technology as well, and just kind of maybe talk about, we know you said you use Babolat rackets, and when you choose equipment or the equipment you carry around or any of the technology you carry around the world and the tour there, what do you look for, and are you really picky when it comes to equipment, and just kind of you know, what goes into decision making with the equipment you're using?
Well, I'm not too picky. I try not to overthink it though and make too many changes regarding that. But I used to use Wilson up until a few years ago, and then my coach told me I should try Babolat. So I tried it and I realized I got a lot more feel and power with it. So since I tried that, I've just stuck with it. And, you know, there's been people here and there who have mentioned, you know, switching equipment whenever, you know, I'm struggling or something, but I don't think it's, you know, the equipment that'll make or break you as a player. But I think it's important to have something you feel comfortable with and that suits your game.
Have you ever used a wood racket?
I hit with one time.
How did that go?
I hit with it for about 10 minutes, and it made me have a lot more respect for players like Chris Evert and, you know, John McEnroe, players that had to play with that back in the day, because it's tough. You don't get much power, and you really have to be precise with those things. So I'm glad we don't use those anymore.
Did your arm start hurting at all after those 10 minutes?
I was feeling it a little bit. It was feeling pretty stiff.
Yeah, the next question, you kind of said you're not real picky about your equipment, but do you ever try to, with the equipment you have, do you ever tinker with it at all or adjust the weight, try different grips? Are you always kind of looking for an edge, or are you pretty settled on what you're using, and or even throughout the season, depending on where you're playing and the surface, what do you change on your rackets?
I'm pretty set with all my equipment. The only thing I change is the tension, which I string my racket at. So, you know, depending on the altitude or where I am, I'll go up a little bit tighter or down a little bit. But generally, I like my racket strung pretty tight, because I feel like I get a lot of power with the Babolat racket. So in order to control it a little more, I have to string it tighter. Yeah, but I'm pretty set with that. That's the only thing I really tinker with at all.
Yeah, next week here in Atlanta, you'll be playing indoors. It's kind of weird that they have a qualifying tournament for the Australian Open, which is usually played in 110 degree heat. It's played indoors here in Atlanta. I assume growing up in California, you didn't play indoors very much, and down in Florida, there's not many indoor courts. Have you been hitting it all indoors ahead of time, or have you been kind of preparing for that, or you just been kind of doing your normal training?
No, haven't been practicing indoors. I don't think there's any indoor courts around here. But just trying to, trying to remind myself that I'm going indoors. So remind myself of the little things that you do when you go indoors. And I'm getting there next Wednesday, so I'll have probably 3 or 4 good practices indoors to get ready for it. So that'll help.
What about any other technology you carry around the tour? Cell phones, computers. Are you a tech technology and a gadget geek, or do you just, are you a minimalist? Do you just kind of bring what you need, or do you use that technology to stay in touch with your friends and family? Just kind of give the viewer and the listener a perspective on, because you guys are away from home sometimes up to a month or, you know, or more away from home. So you kind of have to bring what, everything you have that you need with you. What's in your bag of outside of tennis that you're bringing along?
Well, most importantly, I have my iPhone that I carry around with me everywhere. So, like if I'm out of country or something, it's nice if I have wireless, I can still send texts or FaceTime or Skype with friends and family. So that's really helpful. But I also bring my MacBook with me too, and use that for Skyping with family and friends, because yeah, I mean, it's important to stay in touch with people when you're gone. So that way you can, you know, feel the support and not feel like you're out there all alone.
Yeah, good point. A couple other questions we'll talk about here real quick. Quick hitting questions as we wrap up. The first tournament you ever played in, what do you remember about that when you were a junior?
Well, it was in Mexico, actually. I learned how to play tennis in Mexico when I was 10 years old. And a few months after I started playing, they had a tournament at the club there, and I joined it, and I ended up winning it. And I think that's what kind of got me hooked on tennis, just being out there on my own, competing for myself. And I think that's kind of what drew me in. And, I mean, it also makes it tougher being out there on your own, but it's more rewarding too. So since then, I mean, I've just stuck with tennis and continued to play even when we came back from Mexico. But, yeah, I mean, that was a good first, memory of my first tennis tournament ever.
So your first tournament, you won a trophy in your first tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good. If you weren't a tennis player, what other sports interested you growing up in Southern California? I kind of know swimming is popular. Were you also interested in swimming?
Well, I actually grew up in Northern California.
Northern California, yeah.
But I played soccer for 1 year. I played softball for a few years growing up, volleyball for a couple years. But I also played basketball through high school. And so in high school, basketball and tennis were my main sports. So I think if I didn't stick with tennis, I would have played basketball in college. Because I loved basketball, too. I loved the team aspect of it and just the athleticism involved in it. So, and I miss playing basketball, but I still go out and shoot every now and then with friends.
I'm sure your brothers will take you on in a game of horse, probably, huh?
Oh, yeah. We have a pretty intense game. I go home, we play 2-on-2, and just for bragging rights, really. So it gets pretty intense.
Sure. And your favorite athlete that's maybe not a professional tennis player, who's your favorite athlete?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I think I love his story, just about how he got cut from his high school basketball team and then, you know, comes back to be the best basketball player in the world. And so I read a lot of quotes by him and just, I mean, how calm he was under pressure and how clutch he was is just amazing and really inspiring.
And what's one thing that the listeners would be surprised to find that's on your playlist on your iPhone or iPod?
Rap. I listen to a lot of rap music.
Really?
I think that I had 4 older brothers growing up. They got me hooked on it. But yeah, playing basketball too, people love rap music. So it definitely gets me pumped up before matches.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And I always ask my guests one last question here before we wrap up. And I guess you've kind of already gave the answer, but the one piece of technology that you definitely can't live without?
My iPhone.
iPhone 5? Are you up to iPhone 5?
iPhone 5, and it's great because it's faster and the pictures are amazing. They're so clear. Yeah. I mean, I use it just as a computer and just communicating with my friends and family. It's great. I couldn't live without it.
No, I know the feeling. And Maria, you've been a great guest on here. Give the listeners one more time I don't know if you think you have your own website yet, but where they can follow you on Twitter and you know, what you have planned for early in 2013. I know you're going to Australia, you said, but how can listeners follow what you have going on?
Yeah, my agent has a fan page for me on Facebook. Maria Sanchez, you can follow that. He gives updates on my tournaments and training. And then I also try to give updates on my Twitter account. So, and again, that's Maria VS10.
Yeah, you do a good job on there. Maria will be here in Atlanta next weekend for the Australian Open wildcard playoffs. And that has a website. It's AustralianWildcard.com. There's going to be a live stream with that, so fans of Maria can watch her in action starting on Friday here at the Lifetime Fitness Club here in Atlanta. Maria, we're looking forward to seeing you next week here in Atlanta. Good luck to you. I think your game will suit these courts pretty well, and I think you'll have a good time and hopefully get a spot in the 128 draw in Australia.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. You were a great guest. Appreciate having you. And just want to let everyone know that stay with us here for a second, Maria, how listeners and viewers can follow us. It's netcaststudio.com. And you can head over to netcaststudio.com, check out all the different shows that are available. And the feed for this show will be up tomorrow and will be turned into an iTunes podcast. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports podcast, a Netcast Studio production.
I'd like to say a word on her behalf.
Then say it, Sister Margaret.
Maria makes me laugh.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down?
How do you find a word that means Maria?
A flippity tibby tuppin' over wrist, a clown. Many a thing you know you'd like to tell her. Many a thing she ought to understand.
Listen to all you say.
How do you keep a wave upon the sand?
Oh, how Thanks, do you Steve. Solve a problem like Maria? How do you hold a moon?
No problem, we aim to please.
I'm sure Maria's heard this song a few hundred times, I guess.
I love it. It's a great song.
It's her favorite song. We guessed right.
Yeah.